Hello, this is Ms. Parker, and I'm in RB Project Help Channel. And this is a disclaimer that this is just for entertainment only. That's it. This is just a personal recording from my friends. That's it. No legal advice, neither. All that other stuff that you're supposed to say in the middle of these things. I started talking to the group, and then I realized, oh wait, no, I want to record this. So I kind of had to think about this, and I haven't really told anybody about this, and so I wanted to record it to see what everybody else said after I explain what I'm thinking. So I'm urging all of you to think about what this is as I'm going, so you feel how you feel when you're hearing it. You know what I'm saying? So, I really believe that God is working in my life. And the more this goes on, the more I start to think that this is actually true. And I'm pulling these little sticks out and reading these little quotes of the Bible, and then I go get the Bible and I look it up and figure out what the heck it means. And sometimes I have no idea. Sometimes I get it. Sometimes it's on places that areas I've heard about before, and sometimes it's areas that I'm like, wow, this is in the Bible. So I never know what I'm gonna get. You know, it's just like a box of chocolates. So I got to thinking about how are we going to pay people? And somebody from this group said this. They said, you work all week to make yourself weak. And at the end, you rest. Weekend. Weekend. You work all week for the weekend. The end of stopping your, forcing you to be away from your family, forcing you to tear down your body or whatever your job is. So how can we fix this? How can we change this? And how does it apply to our humanitarian projects? So one of those little sticks came up with something along the lines of God helps those who help themselves. All right, okay. I kind of like that because I don't want to help somebody that actually doesn't need help. I just don't want to do anything. I want to help somebody that's actually already walking the walk, you know? So here we are talking about giving money away, this and that and the other thing, right? But we haven't talked about the most important people around you. That's the people that work with you or work for you. And I've learned this horrible lesson personally because it wasn't until very recently I realized that when I had people working for me in the past, I wasn't the best boss. So my goal is to bless people and change the world. Okay. So we're going into neighborhoods with farm reps and different farming projects, okay? Well, if you have the size, if you have an office the size of a trailer, what are they, a container, we have an office that's going to be a container that's on the back of a truck. We lay it, we put it down and we leave it in that area for 6 months until we're done in that area. And then we take it to the next place. So it's a container. It's not that big. So for people, it would be a lot to work in a container. Well, how do you get more jobs with just four people? But it's simple. You change the work week. So as a boss, to tell me change the work week, I go, oh hell no. That That's twice as much work for me. Correct. It is twice as much work for you. However, if it's twice as much work for you, it's twice as many jobs, and actually maybe 2.5 more jobs because of the turnover and because you're going to have to hire more HR or people to track employments and openings, and because you're going to have more, having more employees means you hire more employees or more employees quit. So, you know, through general life practices, not by any, you know, nothing that you're doing bad yourself. You know, you have a girl that's pregnant. She needs like time off. Or you have somebody that their spouse moves, and so they have to quit because they go. So it's not all the kind of things you think where I'm going to get people in here and they're not going to do a good job and I'm going to fire them. No, that's another whole nother side, but it causes turnover. So what if we change the work day to 3 days a week? That allows the business to be open 6 days a week. Okay. If you want it to be open 7 days a week, you have half of your people work 4 days a week, and the other half of your people work 3 days a week. And every 6 months you switch. If you were working 3 days a week for 6 months, then after four, you know, then you would do 4 days a week for 6 months. That way it shares, it is equal across your project of how much people have to work and how much people have to work less. Now, on the day that the shift over day, on that day, you're only going to work 2 hours because we're only going to be open to 4 hours that day. So what this does is, number one, how many people do you think would jump ship and come to us to work for us, good people, if you told them, oh, you only have to work 3 days a week for 6 months, and then 3 days a week and 2 hours the next day a week for the next 6 months, back and forth. And we're going to pay you a salary. So paying a salary means you get paid for as if you were working 5 days a week. A person, you know, a VP that would make, you know, $100,000 a week normally, they would still make $100,000 a week and they would only work 3.5 days. We have the money. We have the money. So pay your people a full week and only work them 3 days. You will have loyalty like hell wouldn't have it. This would create extreme loyalty to the company because no businesses offer full pay for 3 days of work. The stick in the book, the stick that I pulled out for the good book, it says, what did it say? Help those that help. God helps those that help themselves. Something like that. Can't remember. So there's my solution to create more jobs. There's my solution to create loyalty. And there's my solution to bless more people. What do you guys think? Am I on the right track?
That's lovely, Parker. Wonderful
idea. I think it's awesome.
I think it would be really great. And implementing kind of some of the stuff that they do in like Greece and Italy, where they shut down a certain time of the day for people to just rest and relax. So it's not just go, go, go for the people that don't work half a day. But I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, you know what? We could actually incorporate that idea too, Nick. Was it Nick who was talking?
Life lover.
Oh, Life Lover. I'm sorry. I thought it was Nick. We could have 2-hour lunches. Can you imagine a work day with 2-hour lunches?
What I really love about the whole idea is just allowing people so much time to spend with their families and invest in their
Yes.
children and things like that.
That's what I'm thinking. How many of us remember when we were young parents, how difficult it was to try to get enough time with your kid because you're working and you're so tired when you get off home. You get home from work and you're cranky.
Yeah, and then it's almost time for them to go to bed. It's like eat some food, take a bath, go to bed.
Well,
If
I
we could
think for
change
me,
all
because you missed everything. You couldn't go to any games or any of the other stuff because you had to work.
I think that's how I'm gonna run mine. I think I'm in the process of rewriting my employee handbook so that I can incorporate that as the hours are working hours. And that will instantly boost double the amount of people I can hire in one city. Instantly.
And like you said, it'll increase loyalty, happiness around the office, and dedication. Who wouldn't fight to stay at a job like that?
Nick, what if we hired a third crew that was coverage over the 2-hour lunches?
Flex
And their
schedule.
work day was 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. And we pay them full pay. Actually, we don't. Actually, we don't pay them full pay. We pay them the same amount. It will be smaller. They'd be less hours, so their pay rate would be smaller. But it would still be double. It would be like they work 4 hours a day instead of 2 hours a day.
I'm sure people would love that, having a part-time job that you only had to go to work 2 to 3 hours. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that would work.
And what would be great about that, just thinking about parents, you would be able to be home in time to grab your child from school or whatever you needed to do.
Well, what if you offered it as a job share for a couple? Here's how you could do it. The husband worked the days. And the wife did the 2 hours. She's actually covering him while he's out to lunch.
If it could work for them, but if not, having a split share is actually exactly what you're saying because the 2-hour people could cover. So let's say that your kid had a game that afternoon, the 2-hour person could cover so that we wouldn't lack any coverage and everybody wins.
Yeah, that would be up for, you could do what you would. That's a great idea. We tell the 2-hour cover, look, on some days people may need time off to go to their child's game or this or that. So on those days, I need you to cover and you'll get paid for those hours.
Yeah. And of course, we make it out available for the people who have spouses that could fill in like that. Like my husband is completely opposite of stuff that I do, but a lot of people would be happy to do that.
And if you take time off, you have the option of working different hours or just having a lower paycheck. You're not forced into one way or another. You get to pick.
Yes, and with flex hours and having the next crew, you could still pick up your hours. You know what I mean? Let's say that your kid had some, you're the afternoon guy. I had a morning doctor's, you have, your kid has a morning doctor's appointment. So you, I cover for that for you. And then I come in the afternoon for an hour or two or whatever you need so that you can go to your kid's game that afternoon. So everybody can still have their hours, you know what I mean? And still do what you need to do. And everything still gets done.
Yeah.
And I love what Nick said, because honestly, me personally, I'm like really loyal about work. But the fact that they let me put my family first and that they cared enough about me that I wouldn't be burned out, I'm talking about, that's incredible loyalty. Nobody, we have no zero, it's 100% retention.
Mm-hmm. And also instead of, sorry.
Go ahead.
Instead of being paid less hours, we should consider how much paid time off we would like to give them.
What do you mean, like flex paid time off so that PTO could be filled in hours like that?
So where I work, it's not really, and I like the system, it's not really split up as vacation or if going to the doctor. If you're going to be going to the doctor or whatever, instead of not getting paid, I have X amount of hours that I just use towards that. And so my paycheck is normal and I don't have to worry about it. And it depends. I used to get 5 weeks off per year, but,
wow.
Yeah, but that did change, over time, of course, but I don't use that much now because I work from home, but should probably, you know, think about how much paid time off people should have. Not all industries do that, but I think that it's
no, we're gonna,
they should.
I didn't even think of that because I didn't even think of that. I only gave my employees 2 weeks off. And now I realize that was stupid.
I'm sorry. It's not very much time, you know, when you think about when they want to take their, you know, go take their kids places and their kids have appointments or things they want to go do or, you know, see their kids in a play or whatever, you know.
Well, I think
vacations.
I think that's a great thing. So 5 weeks. Is that what you said?
We had 5 weeks, but I mean, it doesn't need to be 5 weeks, but you
no,
know,
no, no, no,
something.
No, 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 wait. No, here's the thing. I like that. And I think 5 weeks is reasonable, but I would like to be more definite about the week, the time. It would need to be, for me, I would think, now, this is a stupid idea. Just jump right in there. Tell me. For me, I would like to have 40 hours of time off for personal emergency. You could use it to take your kids to the doctor. You could use it to attend a funeral. And it's an emergency. So it's instant. You don't get told no. Okay. But it's no more than 4 hours, you know? So if you have a death in the family, no matter what time it is, it's never going to be more than 4 hours before you get off work. So it's 4 hours and then it switches to the days, okay? And then the other 4 weeks is vacation time where you can take more than, actually the first one, the emergency should be just a day. And then you can only do it one day. You can't do multiple days in a row unless it's, you know, a major accident. That caveat would have to be in there. But then the other 4 weeks is time off days where you have to take at least 48 hours off at a time. So that you're forcing you to go take time off. Go take a vacation. Even if your vacation is just in the backyard, you're having a picnic, that's okay. Just get out of here.
Park, what about, was that you that said something about like you would like to have something where you get away with your employees, take them out on the boat, or just a brainstorming, build up the team? I
Yeah,
can't remember.
I had every 4 months we had a team building exercise for the company, the entire company.
Why don't we do that?
I'm always going to do that because it really builds esprit de corps. I mean, it really gets everybody works better. Work better together. It's way less. And the other thing is too, is this is gonna sound fucked up, and it really, oh dang it, I didn't want to swear on this one. This is gonna sound bad, but when you have company events like that, it exposes weaknesses as well. More than one time, it exposed employees that had major alcohol problems. We were able to get treatment for those employees. But it never would have, we never would have figured it out had it not been for company parties. And we didn't supply alcohol, but we didn't tell people it was a non-alcoholic event. Just left them, it's their, doing the party for you. We're not supplying any alcohol. We're not condoning alcohol. If that's your choice, that's your choice. We won't hold it against you. Basically how I dealt with it. And so for some people, it exposed their weaknesses, but we were able. I don't really feel like that was a bad thing because we were able to help them. And in the new world, I don't think that's even going to be a problem because we'll have med beds that will stop addiction.
Comment on 5 weeks vacation.
What's that?
I would like to comment on the 5 weeks vacation.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Correctional officers in New York City, they take vacations every 6 months because it's a very stressful job. So what they do is every 6 months they take 2 weeks, and then another 6 months they take another 2 weeks. Or what they do is if they don't take vacation, they save up their vacation to take a whole month off if they would like. And then they also have a week of personal days. So I don't know what you think
Oh,
about that.
that's another great way to do it. And that again
Yeah.
forces them to take time off within a, you can't go more than 6 months without taking a time off, or unless you're saying, hey, look, I'm saving my time for a month. Okay, that makes sense.
But again, we're still talking about a 3-day work week.
Yeah.
So you don't need as much time off because you work three and you're off for four already.
No, you still need the time off.
Yeah.
If nothing else, for corporate people that have been working, say we get 45-year-olds, 50-year-olds, they've always had vacation time, and that was a major part of their compensation package. So, I don't want to feel like we're offering less than what we would have traditionally offered. The goal is to add more. So if that's the way it was working a 9-to-5 week, then I don't know. I think maybe just offer 2 weeks. No, I don't like the way that sounds. I think I'm going to do 5.
2 is definitely not enough either way.
Yeah, I think I'll do 5. And then with the 3-day work week, 3-day and 2 hour, 3-day plus 2 hour work week, I really think that is going to create major loyalty.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of splitting it up 1 week for personal, you know, like what you said, and then 4 weeks for vacation.
Vacation, yeah. But on the same time, we would try to be as accommodating as possible. What if, no, I was about to say, what if we had somebody that had to take their family member to the doctor all the time? We'd take them to the med bed all done. I just remembered. It's going to be such a different way of thinking, you know, thinking in abundance. It's really going to be a different way of thinking. And prep yourself now. Start thinking in abundance now. So I've been looking at this post and looking at this post, and I finally got the response. She's about to. She's about to be singing 10-to-2.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're gonna do. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna encourage my managers and other people to do the same.
Here, one of the things that I wanted to do was when people have kids, like the 9-to-5 thing, why do mm-hmm. we work 9-to-5? The kids go to school from 8 to 3. Why does the shift have to be, you know what I mean? So we come in from, you know, those people or some people can come in on that off hour thing, since it's, you know, 3 days and a couple of hours, so that you can drop your kids off and you get out when they get out, so that you can pick your kids up from school and you don't have to worry about daycare or them being home alone and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another option.
Yeah, those hours have always been puzzling to me as well. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, 10-to-2 would be good, because then you'd be able to take your kids to school. But I don't think school is going to be the same way anymore.
I hope not.
I pray it's not.
Well, I've asked to be involved in education talks because I have a whole different idea of how to do school. I want to have school modules where first, you know, science class. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get you ready for the world. And what our current education is trying to do is trying to brainwash you. So you want to have time to study different subjects, but you also need time to learn about business, our country, history, reading, but these subjects can be taught in totally different ways. Like, one of the reasons I wanted to have the excursion boats is for kids that were in high school that said, "Hey, I want to learn marine biology." Okay, you come get on one of these marine biology excursion boats. It's a classroom. And so for six months, you're on a boat, or 3 months you're on a boat, or 1 month you're on a boat. And so say you're on a boat for 6 months, that's your entire science requirement, is you're going to be learning a tremendous amount of stuff about the ocean life, okay? And you're actually helping the ocean, whatever thing you're doing. I'm thinking making the hemp reefs so that I could teach kids about the ocean by putting them on an ocean boat and learning, actually hands-on learning. So other kids think, screw the ocean. I really think the Sahara Desert is wild. You have a whole science class that is held in the Sahara Desert on site. And it's set up for the kid and a parent to go. So the child is never alone with anybody, except the parent. By having those kind of modules, those kind of education modules, you can allow the parent to go with the child. And there is a the tax money, like we get tax money to pay for teachers and that kind of stuff. Well, that tax money would be paid back to the parent as a paycheck for being able to take the time off to go with their son or daughter, so that it doesn't hurt the family financially. The parent is learning as is the child, because we've got to re-educate our whole world. So if we do something like that, we're educating the parents as well as the child. If we cut away all the rote memorization crap, and then you have a 6 month class for the kids on how to start a small business, and they actually go through all the steps. Instead of the way they teach everybody to obey, to obey, to obey, they do not teach creation. They do not emphasize the importance of being able to create, because we're human. We can create stuff. You ask a kid, "Hey, what kind of business do you want to build?" The answer he'll give you is just, it'll be jaw-dropping, because they're still using their creativity. So we want to encourage creativity by actually doing hands-on classes for kids. So then they'll be like community groups where you're doing a unit on reading. So instead of spending one 45-minute reading class, you go to a, you take your kid to the community group, and for 1 month a year, the child is doing reading and writing. That's a focus on it. So it's immersion, but full focus, and not the stupid dittos, the stupid copies that we get, the books, learning to a test. Screw that. Learn to the needs of the child's creation. I'll totally change education. And we'll get much smarter kids.
I love that. I love all of it.
Yeah.
Immersing themselves in the subject, literally. I love mm-hmm. that too. Because mm-hmm. I think people learn better hands-on.
Kinetic learning, yes, it's true, because it's the third level. Hearing, vision, and hands-on. It's the third level. They're always miss the third level. The third level teaches rote memorization of muscle memorization, like how to make a pizza. Okay, you can read about how to make a pizza, you can watch about how to make a pizza, but you can't toss a pizza unless you get your hands in it. And once you learn how to toss a pizza, you always got that skill. Where kids today, and for the most part, me too, we were taught whatever we were taught. As soon as we left school, the memory just went bink, it's gone. Rote memorization, where you do it with your hands. Like, you can read about how to take apart a car engine, but unless you get your hands dirty, you're never going to remember. So, anyway, that's some of the things I want to be involved in talks about. It's important. Anyway. Any other comments? Anybody else about the work?
I have a few thoughts, like if you don't mind me stepping in.
By all means.
You know, as I'm listening, because I've actually been working on all of this for the last few weeks, and as I was listening, a couple of thoughts came to my mind, and I wanted to put it out there. And that is, when you have employees, you're going to have what traditionally, let's think, the old system, and then we get to reinvent the system, which is so exciting. And so that's why I believe we're doing all this right now. The old system is you had hourly employees that were, if you will, the worker bees. Then you had mid-management. Then you had the senior management. You had different compensations and structures for all three. Your worker bees or your hourly were hourly employees, thus the 40 work week or whatever that may be. Your mid-management, sometimes they did either or. Most of the times they were salaried, but it was disguised with an hourly, you know, they said, yeah, it's 40 hours, but you get this amount of money, but then they were expected to be in their role, maybe even 60 hours in the week because they had a job, a task at the mid-management that they were, that basically their job was predicated on. And then you have the senior level that it was more the outcome of the full business. And so then they were rewarded with salary and then bonuses, stock options, those kind of things. You were mentioning the benefit package. That was very big. They would cushion it very, very nicely usually. So as I'm listening for these solutions, I'm seeing, yes, it sounds really cool. I don't know if you guys know much about like the fire department. How do they run their schedules to be able to run a fire station 24/7, 365 days, right? They cannot have an engine in play if they don't have all those seats covered. They do it in typically, like they call it colors, blue, green, and red. So then many will do either what you were just talking about, maybe a 3 day on, 4 day off schedule. They have three shifts though. They have the A, B, and C, or the red, green, blue. And then they would switch those around. And it's very interesting how they would do it. They had all these cool little calendars. Or they would do a 24 on, 24 off, because you know that they sleep in the station. What they would do, and what I was hearing here, is the job sharing or the time off thing. Sometimes they would do it on the books, but sometimes they would trade. And it was allowed because they're actually in that situation. They're overseen by a body. They're overseen by a body. But they were allowed to trade between themselves. They didn't have to put it into the system. It was an honor system, but it was known honor system. Or, and they did it a lot of times because what was brought up before, you know, before med beds, people got sick. And let's say someone had to go with a family member that was going for cancer treatments. Then that was more than the family acts would allow, more time that they needed to get that person to being whole again. So many times what they would do is they would do a trading system. So some of these things that are done out there in traditional, what the old system, some of them actually work, some of them are actually very broken. But I think that as we build the new system, we need to look at, you know, what is that job description? Where would it traditionally fall? And then have the new system, like what Ms. Parker was talking about, set up that, okay, that's what it was, this is what it is. And then do, you know, the first year, maybe even what's working, what's not working, and be open to maybe tweaking it a bit. I was listening to the whole idea of, I love it, love it, love it, the intern type education, or going out and having the experience education. Those people that are on that boat, they're employees. So what do you do with the job sharing on those? And how do you do it? Because the boat goes back into a whole 24/7, 365 when you have these people on there. So how do you pay your people, and how do you have that job sharing? And so, you know, and where do they fit in all of that? That was one of my you know, thoughts in looking at this. Also, what I've done in the past, maybe it would be considered in the mid-management area. I worked for a few years as a recruiter for a Fortune 100, and we worked as teams. And it would be the job sharing maybe at the middle level, because what they wanted was for us to be able, the whole idea was smart. They didn't want us all the intellectual property. They didn't want us to own it all in our brain. And then if we walk away, it's actually there. They own it, but we held it in our brain. So what they did was they had us switch roles every week, and we would pass off that role. It's kind of the same idea here of the 3 and 4. You know, and the pass off, because if it's not a line position or hourly position, but if there's intellectual property involved, it's a matter of having liked people, which that's exactly what I'm thinking of doing also with what I've been working on here. The whole idea is to be able to, for each role, you hire at least 2 people that have liked personalities and skill levels that they would be able to team, because that's going to, like Ms. Parker was saying, it's going to give us a little bit more work in the front end, but in the end, we will have such a dedicated team that you're not going to have as much turnover, except for just the things like moving and such, as you're saying. So then it's a matter of, okay, how do you structure it? And so that the job at hand is done that requires the intellectual property, the trade-off or such things like that. And is that done? You know, so these are some of the questions even that I'm throwing back, because I absolutely love this. And I do believe that we're at a point right now where we can create it, and we're the wild, wild west of the new employment. And that's very exciting and very big responsibility. As I look at the CEO level people, I believe that is going to be more of a, you know, I don't know that you're going to want to job share a CEO. I actually have been thinking, I've actually have of my initiatives, I actually have one of my initiatives that I have 2 people that I am thinking of trying it with. The other 4, I have found one that, you know, right now that I believe that we'll be able to do it. My thought here though is that in creating what they're at that level, they're used to the package, you know, I'm thinking we have the ability to create a package like they've never seen before. And I've heard Ms. Parker talk about this, that she, when she was talking about hiring some of the people that she's going to hire, she's going to be buying them the house. She's going to be doing the this. She's going to be building the, having the building for them. She's going to take care of these things. They get to show up and turn the light on and get the job done. That's pretty exciting. So it's a matter of how, you know, how do we give them that unique package that was not even available to give before, and then create the environment where we're not burning out our CEOs, because that could, we're changing everything, and there many a really good CEO is going to have the attitude of I'm in it to win it because that's what I do, and I'm going to, and many times they just have that work ethic that they're worth their salt. And we're going to have to hold them back even, like, okay, you know. And so I actually have people, right?
Tamara, there's a different way to look at this. Think about the teams at the top, okay? You have a CEO and you have a CFO. Mm-hmm. If you've got the right ones, they're joined at the hip. And if you've got the right ones, those two are always, always, always talking. So what you do is you have your CEO and your CFO, that's who they're going back and forth with. If you're going to have a new company, you want to train new CEOs to go to your company, you have the new CEO work at the exact same time with the CFO. And that way they're basically transferring knowledge from one to the other, so that when the next building is ready or the next plant is ready for that new CEO to expand your company, that's a way to do it. So you can actually train in-house. But you're right about having difficulty with having two CEOs.
I love that.
Is if you're using someone who the CEO talks with all the time. Now, it may be the CEO and the COO, Chief Operations.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it could be. Now, your Chief Operation Officer, that's a position that I use to switch. So if I'm going to have a new, I'm going to have a new company, I'm going to start a new company, I have my CEO, COO is always told that your job here at this position is not your end job. If you take the COO position, it's with knowledge that when you're done here in a year, you're going to this place or that place, or we've got this place being built and it won't be done until this time. And then you're expected to go to the new location. And that has worked really, really, really well, because you're upfront with them in the very beginning, and it allows the COO, it allows the CFO to work with the COO. CFO gets his walking orders from the CEO. So if you have the CFO working at the same time with the CEO, and you know the COO, and you know your OO is leaving, that's your backup that he's learning. And it works really well. Works really well.
You know what, as I'm thinking here, and anybody that might not understand the C-suite, I'm just all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, we've got alphabet soup started going on, and right? So the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer, the chief operations officer, often, and then you may have a chief security officer and chief IT. You know, yeah, IT. Yeah, the intel. I kept going intellectual property, but no, it's this chief technology. There's the chief technology officer. So, what about this too? Because we get to design this, Ms. Parker, and I'm thinking, when you incorporating what you were talking about, the students in the, you know, and the learning that the students get to do out on that boat, we are going to be bringing up the next level because of the kind of work that's going to be done throughout the world with the humanitarians. for and the need from that many more leveled, you know, CEOs and such things. And I think that in finding that next level and kind of creating that assistant intern type position to work alongside these chief officers, that then that could let some of that responsibility that they have kind of offset some of it with someone that they're training, if you will, that they trust, and that they know it's a new world. They don't have to protect like they used to, because they would in the past they would never do something like this. But this new world, they're going to want to be much more generous of spirit, and so that we're then bringing up the next level of chief officers and their training with who we have found to be the best, because we've put them into those positions. That could help possibly to offset some of those hours or that workload, if you will. It's a thought.
All we're doing now is just batting around ideas, trying to be better humanitarians.
100%.
I got to thinking about this, and I really, you know, you miss so much of your kid's life. And if we're going to bless people, why don't, you know, charity starts in the home. Do it in your businesses first. And your productions first. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Anybody else had questions, comments, thoughts?
I am very excited about having the opportunity to have a say-so in how the world turns. Things like this today, where we are actually in a position to talk about what is really best for humanity as a whole. And we're thinking about families and the environment and the future generation and their outlook on life. Like, I think that we should implement community service before someone graduates from high school, that you have to go and, you know, help with whatever. There's so many, you know, there's a plethora of things, but you get the gist. I think that they should visit old folks' homes and talk to elderly and things like that, because that's a part of our community and who we are, you know. And I think that when you're vetted that way at an early age, even in elementary school and those kinds of things, learning how to deal with each other and other people, we can implement all of those things so that it's a whole different thing. Parenting class.
We're not going to have old folks' homes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. When you said that, I was over here going, gosh. She didn't, she forgot. Ha ha.
Oh, it makes me so happy. My grandmother was my favorite person on the planet. Mm-hmm. And I miss her every day, and it's still, you know, it's been eons, but that we can preserve that whole class of people and all of the wonderful ideas and all of the information that they will be able to bring to the table. Unbelievable. It's wonderful, really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, whether our new world's going to be. Anybody else got ideas? Cupid, what do you think?
I'm kind of lost. I've been listening, but couldn't pay attention too much. I heard CFOs and stuff, but.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to set up people's hours. How many hours a week should people work? So we were thinking 3 days a week. And pay them for full-time work.
Well, that's kind of what's kind of been floating around for the last couple of years, is that everything's going to go to a 3-day work week, and it sounds great. But my focus would be to try to cure the workaholics on what are they going to do for 5 days if they don't have a job.
I don't know. I'm really worried about that. That's
don't put my business in the street.
I know people that would work 7 days a week, 12-hour days for the rest of their life, and they wouldn't care. That's just what they do. They work.
Dude, you know. I did that for 25 years. I didn't take a vacation. I haven't taken a vacation in 25 years.
So that's my issue is how are we going to refocus these guys, these people, these women and men to take 5 days off and enjoy the rest of their life, you know?
That's a good point. And then you also still have the people that maybe they don't have a family. It's just them. So they don't have someone to go home to and do something with. That's an idea.
I know at least 5 guys right now that drive a truck across the road full time because they either don't get along with their family, don't have any family, or hate their family. They would rather be out on, they'd rather be out on the road driving than to even remotely deal with any of their family. So, I mean, if you made them go to 3-day work week, they'd go insane.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
And they're out there because they know most of the time it's because they have a problem and they know it. And they don't want to, you know, they don't want to cause the issue. So they stay out on the truck and keep going, you know, most. So, but like with me, when I was out there, I only worked 2 days a week and I loved it because I had 5 days to go do, you know, 5 days to go do what I wanted to. And I loved it. But the rest of them are like, man, I can't do this. I can't be off for 5 days. I got to go find something to do. I got to call the office, get some work. I'm like, why? Because if I'm not working, I'm not making any money. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're making the same money, if not more, but you just don't realize. You're geared to work. And, you know, they were absolutely going insane. They couldn't just sit there and enjoy life.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I loved it because me and my wife, we went and done all kinds. We went to Niagara Falls. We did the every time we had a chance, we would find whatever local was the exciting thing to do around. You know, you always ask around, what's there to do? And when the locals tell you what's around, then that's we went and did that. You know, we went and seen whatever was in, whatever the popular thing was for that part, for that city, you know? So.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's my issue is the work week doesn't bother me at all. I could be off 7 days a week and just have fun and be happy with it. Mm-hmm. But you got some guys out there that they would just absolutely go insane because they would just panic because, oh, I'm not making no money. I'm not making no money. Well, here you're making $1 million right here because of this thing happened. You've got money. Well, I got to work. I got to make money. They'll never see it. They'll never see it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
what about on that point, then maybe something to obviously can't force anybody to do anything, but what about things to help kind of rebuild the family structure, which has been torn apart so terribly over the last 50 years?
Do you feel though that if some of the financial pressure was lifted off of them, that attitude might change a little bit?
If they worked their whole life for 30 years and never had any time off, it would take them 10 years to get used to that idea. Even if they had financial freedom, I don't think if you left them to themselves and left them to do their own thing, I don't think they could get it done in 5 to 10 years because they're so geared to work. Even though if they look at their bank account, oh man, I got plenty of money, but they still got to go work because that's what they do. We work, you know.
Or cattle farms, farmers. Those guys work.
Those guys might get a vacation every 3 or 4 years, and that's only because they have family that they trust to come in and feed their animals while they can go take a break and take a vacation, you know.
Yeah,
they're geared to work and they're happy to be there 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's good, Cut Bait. I'm saying some people don't do, you know, and that's okay, but we can have still get them some vacation time.
No, actually you can't. Not those kind of people.
I mean,
my late husband would never, ever, ever, ever leave the ranch when we had cattle. When we got had calves, nope, not leaving. And then we,
especially during calving season, they're not going anywhere. If they lose, if they lose one calf, that's their bottom line, you know.
Yeah.
So
$1,000 by the time they're grown.
Oh yeah. So, you know, what do you do in that situation? How do you fix that?
I don't know, but now you gave me a whole nother thing to think about.
I think that's a great idea, but if we cannot enhance or give them shorter work weeks, we can help take some of the stress out of it for them.
Oh, wait, guys, I just figured it out. Replicators. We won't have to have people that farm won't have to farm because we'll have replicators. The people that love to farm will still farm because they have to have something to replicate. So it has to be grown first. So people that want to farm will still be able to farm. But instead of doing it as a work, it'll be a joy. It'll be a hobby. It'll be something they love to do, not something they have to do to feed their family.
So what are they going to do with the million plus beef cows out there if they're not going to have a butcher process where they eat the? I mean, if you replicate it, what are they going to do with all these animals that are just have nowhere to go now?
Some of us don't want replicated cows.
Well, that's.
Now wait a minute. It's absolutely identical. What I believe will happen with cattle and all livestock, this is going to sound crazy, but I've actually been thinking about this through. So guys that are cattle breeders that are trying to raise award-winning cattle, that is not just a life way to make money, but that's part of who they are. It's in their genetics that their granddaddy did it, their great great granddaddy did it, and it's you're following your genetics. Well, you get a beef that's perfect, and you replicate that beef. Well, after that, then that replication program, that's what you hand out. So now I can send a program to cut bait that's the exact ribeye steak of the best, finest ribeye steak you could ever have. Now he has it. Now we don't need the use for the cattle, okay? So the people that are going to have cattle are going to be the ones that like freaking cows. It'll be like no different than those people that like dogs, no different than those people that like to ride horses. They're still going to have the animals, but they're not going to have hundreds of head of cattle. Cows are really funny and they're very sweet and they clean up property like crazy. They're like living lawnmowers, okay? I believe that I will probably have at least one or two cows all of my life if I have more than 5 acres of property. Reason being is cows keep the area clean. I don't have to I can raise a cow and have 3 cows and castrate my bull and make sure that I don't have any little baby calves. And that's all I need. Have pet cows is what it's going to end up being like. Horses will still be riding horses, but they're going to knock off all the drugs so we don't have all the racetrack death. But any kind of butchered animal, the breeders are going to still keep breeding because that's what they like to do. But we won't need to slaughter hundreds of thousands of cows anymore, ever. Because it'll be in a replicator. The ribeye replication will be boom easy.
I still want a homegrown cow.
Well, in time, you won't be able to do that for a whole different reason. That reason is there will be no more butchers after about 20 years. it'll be a lost skill. We won't be needing to butcher animals. Huh.
They will be eating fake meat?
No, they won't. In about 20 years, if we have replicators, you're going to have, the breeders are going to make the best cattle within 5 or 10 years. And then after that, there won't be a need for it because you'll have the replication program to, you know, I want a steak, click, 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 boom, it's there. But the cattle breeders won't need to be breeding cattle anymore. I'm sorry, what?
I think I missed the part about the replicator. So it's not fake meat, it's real meat, but it's replicated?
Like the Jetsons. Like the Jetsons.
Just like the Jetsons.
I don't want no replicated beef.
You don't understand. It is identical. It's to the molecular structure identical. It's the same exact thing because it is copied exactly. It's molecules. It's copied down to the molecular level.
Yeah, think about it. It's just the technology that's been suppressed.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes down to the end of all this, only those people that actually love cows and want to keep cows are going to have cows. You won't have to. You know, and raising cattle and raising beef cattle, that's hard work. Cut bait, what are you doing over there?
I don't know. I went to the blue and then I went back to the green. I was going to ask a question. Okay, here's the next level of this thing. If we're not gonna need beef for the steak purposes, so here's the scenario. I'm looking at two ranches that I want to buy when we get our blessings. One's 11,000 acres, and the other one's 7,000 acres. That's 18,000 acres of land that mm-hmm. I was going to use to revolutionize the beef industry as best I could. You know, because everything's changing. I don't know exactly how it's changed, but I know it's going to change. So what are we going to do with all this land? Because the whole land system is based, ecosystem is based off the idea that something comes along and chews off the top so that the new can grow up from the bottom and keep the earth whole. Because that's why we have deserts, because they basically have not followed good grazing practices. And so what are we going to, what's going to happen with the, Are there going to be one giant desert and a few big cities?
Well, I don't, you think that we go into deserts if we don't have animals?
Well, it's kind of, I've kind of studied it a little bit, but I know that's one of the reasons why we have like the Sahara Desert and some of this, some of these places that are inhabitable, because they've been stripped of all the nutrients and all the micronutrients and the microbes and stuff from the bad farming practices and the bad ranching practices, because we were taught to do it this way and that was not the right way. So if we totally just take all the cows away and all the buffalo away and all the animals that used to roam here and do the natural nature thing, what are we going to do with all this land? Because it's either going to grow up and be a complete jungle that nobody can walk through, or it's going to turn into a desert. One way, I don't know exactly which way it would go, but I know the land needs animals.
Yeah, I agree with you on there. They're going to be wild buffalo. There's going to be wild herds.
Okay, but if you don't modify those herds, then you're going to go the opposite way and they're going to eat up everything and then they're all going to starve to death.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there'll be an imbalance of the entire ecosystem.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is if we're going to have replicators where we don't have to make butcher a necessary thing, then what are we going to do with all the animals? Because they're either going to eat up everything and it's going to be a complete desert planet, or it's going to turn into a jungle because they're all going to die off.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a combination of different technologies and ideas and projects, but no, that's a valid point.
I mean, it.
That's something to think about.
Because this, just like this morning, I listened to, I watched a 2-hour video on soil health and soil microbes and soil, how everything starts in the soil. If you don't treat the soil right with the micronutrients, the macronutrients, and the microbes, then you're not going to grow anything. Everything, all your nutrients get locked up and compacted and combined and attracted and electrolysis and all that stuff to the point where you ain't going to have nothing.
Well, you know? one of the people I'm working with has developed a whole different type of microbes that cause the soil to replenish, and to the point where they believe that we're going to be able to populate the Sahara Desert with plants and animals.
And that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. But if you don't have a balanced ecosystem of a herd of buffaloes or cows or something that come there and helps maintain it, it's not going to do any good.
Yeah, well,
it's the same thing. If you can have a herd, you can control your herd size by how many steers you make. If you have a big enough herd to keep your land cleaned up, you know, the grass cut down, then you have more cattle. You don't, you can find the bulls. I don't know. I think I would still have cattle. And I think I would still have, herds. If I had that much property, I think I would still have herds. But I would, make a lot of steers. Because
and if you don't make steers, then it doesn't make very good steak. But I mean, I agree. You've got to cut the bulls, or you'll have an overpopulation within 5 years. You'll be so overrun with cows, you won't even know what to do with them all. But yeah. like right now, you've got the wild Mustang herds that are running wild out on these big ranges in Utah and Colorado and all these other places. And they're so overpopulated because they made the horse meat illegal to eat in the United States. So there's no butchers. So there wasn't nowhere from, they let them go. And now there's so many of them, they have to do something with them. And yeah. People are just going nuts because they're just going out there and killing, hundreds at a time with rifles. They shoot them and leave them laying there. And people are just up in arms because, oh, they're shooting the wild Mustang. Well, it's going to be the same thing with cows. You're just going to have to go out there and shoot them. If there's, because once you get to a certain population, they're going to ruin it before it makes, I don't know. I mean.
No, that's some valid concerns. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I know there's people smarter than me working on it.
Well, and whenever they get it all figured out and let us know, I'm going to probably be really impressed. But until now, that's, until then, that, until
I just
then,
that, you, that day.
Do what?
I said, I just love you. What you said, I'll be real impressed. It's like all of us will.
Yeah, but whenever they figure it out, let us know. I'm going to be super impressed because I know they got a solution for it. But until then, I'm like, what the hell are we going to do?
I think these are questions for Orlando, because some of the brainiacs working on this will be in Orlando.
Yeah. I'll tell you another one. I've decided the two properties I told you about, I'm looking at another place that it's got 400,000 acres. It's a huge ranch, and I was gonna, it's a part of the Chihuahuan desert, and I was gonna try to go in there like you're talking about, again, greening the desert kind of a thing, and and do the same thing over there. But this the Chihuahuan Desert is not true just blowing sand. It's actually got some vegetation life, but it's not really worth anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no food value. It's just picturesque, But I know there are certain parts of it that you should be able to go in and make it where it will produce something that's worth eating or worth selling or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, to the both of your point, you know, both valid. You know, if they could see the cloud and DARPA has all this technology and supposedly with all the suppressed technology surpasses all of that for the greater good of humanity, I'm sure there are people, you know, to your point as well. Great points, Cupbait. But to your point there, Parker, you know, I'm sure there are plans being put in place to encapsulate and capture all these variables in which we're thinking about talking about, you know. But yeah, I'm excited nonetheless.
I'm super excited. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell, how the hell they're going to do this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. Don't know.
Well, we'll probably all be having Wagyu beef out of our replicators or whatever the best beef is at that point.
I don't know.
That's so yummy and delicious.
I think it'll be a combined effort of all the global humanitarian projects to include some of these things as far as the agricultural aspect goes.
Yeah. You all should know that Miss Serena B in this channel is a master of making fresh hollandaise sauce and béarnaise.
Now you're just making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm making myself hungry.
Exactly. That's just
disrespect.
Weird. It is.
I'm not even talking to any of you folks. All right, look, I'm gonna close up this recording. Does anybody else have anything to say before I close it?
I didn't know I'd been recorded. Damn it.
Yeah, we're recording because we were brainstorming what's the best way to have employees and how to be different types of humanitarians. And it's like, well, wait a minute, we are being a humanitarian because we want to help people that are struggling. Well, what the little stick that I pull out, that I pull these little Bible quote sticks out of this jar and I read them, then I go look them at my Bible trying to figure out what they actually mean. Sometimes I figure it out, most times not, but this, it's hard to understand the Bible for me. So it basically, there was one that was along the lines of God helps those that help yourself. So it's like, well, okay, why don't we help our employees? So my brainstorm was, we only work 3 hours a week and we have 2 hour lunches. We have a third group of people that only work 2 hours a day. They cover those 2 hours of lunches. And just went into all that and started talking about that. And then everybody had different ideas and we were just recording it. So the other people that were trying to figure out how to hire employees might have this kind of information.
Okay. Well, I got in later, wasn't paying attention. I didn't know we were recording it, but that's cool. That's real cool.
We still love you. Anyway. This is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help, and I hope you enjoyed this audio. Thank you, everybody. Good night.